ETC is go.
Thank you, this is go.
ETC is go.
Copy, this is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot com.
STM is go.
Safety com is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people.
On RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Friday night, the 28th of May, and welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you?
Well, I'm very excited about tonight's show. This is going to be something a little different, folks. It's a special report, Are We Alone? And tonight, Diane and I are going to be talking about the upcoming Defense Department, Pentagon, Intel agency report that deals with UFOs. And
yes, in fact, it's being turned over to the Senate on June 1st.
Well, that comes right up next week. That's Tuesday of next week. Now, in my mind, I think there's probably a good 80-85% chance it doesn't meet the deadline.
It'll either meet the deadline or it will stall, you know, in the Senate as they go through it. And as the Democrats, you know, try to make excuses, no, this can't be, this can't be, this can't be.
Well, there's two versions of this report that are going to come out. There's the unclassified, or I guess I should say the classified report, and that's the one that's going to go to the Senate. Okay?
Correct.
And then there's the unclassified one that's supposed to be released to the public. Now, the Senate report might make it on the 1st of June, but I've just got a sneaky suspicion it won't. And the, you know, kind of the declassified one that's supposed to go to the public, I'll be surprised if we see that until sometime in July or August.
Well, you know, Marco Rubio has led the wanting of this because so many people have seen so many things. I think he's going to hold them to the June 1st deadline.
I think he's going to try. I just don't know that it's going to happen. This report
would be a fly on the wall.
Oh man, you know, this report it's got the potential of being a blockbuster. So let me ask you, is it going to be a blockbuster?
I don't think the report per se is going to be. I think they're going to be covering up like they've been doing for decades. But I think too many people have seen too many things. There's too many videos, too many unexplained occurrences. It's going to change a lot of minds just in the fact that the report is going to be a bunch of nonsense. They're going to, in my opinion, I think they're going to say that these are not the old-fashioned, oh, it's a weather balloon, but new military equipment that the public didn't know about. Or, yeah, it might be the Russians testing something or the Chinese. I don't think from the government we're going to get the truth.
I tend to agree with you that, you know, the weather balloon, swamp gas, oh, it's Venus, you know, that ship sailed a long time ago. People aren't going to, people just aren't going to buy that anymore. You know, now you think they're going to go with, well, it's military stuff, it's experimental military aircraft. Mm-hmm. I don't think we might get a little bit of that, but I think, and we'll have to wait and see who's right on this, but I kind of think what we're going to get is a lot of redacted stuff and a lot of, it's a flying object, but we just don't know what it is. I think they're going to kind of wimp out and they're going to say, well, we just don't know.
Yeah. How would you like to take this bet? How about they're going to say climate change has affected the atmosphere?
What we're seeing
is the effects of climate change, actually the visual effects in the atmosphere. I wouldn't put it past them.
No, I wouldn't either. Everything gets blamed on either climate change or racism. So,
right. So why not this too?
It's sad, really. Well, it is. But people aren't going to buy that. I don't think people, by and large, are going to buy into that. You know, it's like you said, too many people have seen too many things, and there's too many videos out there. The Pentagon the Department of Defense has released several videos over the past year that show unidentified flying objects, or as the DOD refers to them, unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, they can't even say what the common vernacular is. UFOs, unidentified flying objects.
Yeah, for the purpose of this show, for this special Are We Alone, we'll just call them UFOs.
Of course.
Because that rolls off the tongue easier. So there's all these videos out there. Now, from what Marco Rubio has said, and from what John Ratcliffe has said, there's a lot more videos that exist with the military than have been released to the public. Now, those videos show things that obviously are not the result of climate change. I mean, it's pretty obvious when you see them, it's not climate change. So they're going to have to explain it or explain it away, and I think they're going to explain it away, and I think a lot of that is going to be, we just don't know what it is.
Yeah, but the fact is they do know. They do know, but we'll get into that later, folks. But I think they know, and I think they've always known. And I'm one of the ones, and I believe you are too, Craig. Roswell was real, and they have the evidence.
I absolutely believe Roswell was real. There's no doubt in my mind. That was no mine weather either. Balloon.
Well, only time will tell, you know, what this report says. You know, folks, we're going to go through it with a fine-tooth comb. And it'll be interesting. It will be very, very interesting because these military videos, I think, are the more damning.
Well, and that's what this report is going to focus on, is what the military has. It's not going to really focus on what average people see or what average people get on their cell phone. One of the videos that really lit this thing up was actually shot back in 2004. It's been referred to as two things, the Nimitz incident or the Tic Tac incident.
The Tic Tac, the common name for it.
Right, yes. And this was a group of Navy pilots. There was two planes, four pilots, front and back seat. These were F-18s. And they scrambled because there were at least 10 things coming in on radar. So, and they had no idea what they were because they couldn't get a signature on them. They just could see them on radar. So they took off chasing them. They catch up to them. And one of these things, the first one they catch up to, the pilot said it looked like a giant Tic Tac. He said it was about the same length as his F-18, which would make it about roughly 50, 60 feet. And it was down on the deck. It was down near the water. Okay. And it was just kind of bouncing around down there. And so as he was circling down to go down and get a closer look, it suddenly spun around, and then came up to meet him.
Yes.
Now, as it came up, as it got right in front of him, the pilot said, and this is a trained Air Force pilot, the pilot said it just disappeared. Gone.
Right. In a blink of an eye, it disappeared.
Now, the radar on the Nimitz tracked it going from the deck, from the surface of the ocean, to 80,000 feet in a second.
Yeah. And okay. I don't care what anyone says, that is not any kind of military aircraft that we have or Russia or China has.
No. And it gets weirder because when it disappeared, a few seconds later, it showed up again on radar, mm-hmm. 60 miles away.
Yes. Yeah. The speed of that was phenomenal. And, you know, they have videos also captured again by Navy officers aboard the USS Russell that happened off the coast of California in 2019. In fact, what they said, they knew it wasn't a hoax, and they felt it was actually some kind of giant pyramid-shaped craft, obviously, spinning around in the sky.
Which, again, is nothing that works in our knowledge of physics.
Right. But if we're not alone, our knowledge of physics might be, you know, taking baby steps, and other forms of life might have more advanced physics.
That's got to be considered.
Yes.
You know, you can't just limit it to what we know, because what one of the things we know is that we don't know everything.
We know very little when it comes to space. But the first thing that has started all of this was the discovery in 2004 when the Hubble was pointed at a small area of what was considered then empty space. But it turns out, through deep field imaging, that that empty space was actually filled with galaxies. And in it, it was estimated that there were 200 billion, yes, billion folks, galaxies within that area. And once you find a galaxy and you find a star a certain amount of distance away from what's called exoplanets, you have to understand that mathematically, if that star exists, if one of the planets is roughly 93 million miles away from its sun, a star is a sun, there's a very good chance that there is some kind of life there. And if you boil it down even more mathematically, you got to do it this way. If we are the middle, if humans are the middle, and let's say the distance is and this planet is developing, you know, has an ocean, has mountains, has trees, whatever. Half of those people, half of the civilizations on that planet could be way ahead of us. They could be behind us, or they could be just like us. Now, when I say just like us, I don't mean they have to look exactly like us, but they would be sentient beings, they would be humanoid, and they would be mammalian.
Well, and not only that, but they would be at about our general level of knowledge on a time frame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you break it down into those groups, and that's what's possibly out there. But then you have to extrapolate it by the numbers. Okay, there are right. untold trillions of stars in our universe.
Okay? Yes.
And that means there are even more untold trillions of planets. So how many of those planets would be in that position as you describe? A lot.
Well, I can give you the data on that. In fact, data from the Kepler mission showed that for every visible star, that has a detectable planetary system, that's the exoplanets, between 10 to 20% of those stars have Earth-like planets in what's called the habitable zone. But the question is, do these planets have the right ingredients for life? But here comes the facts that we know that supernovas generate the heavier elements in the universe, and Hubble instruments have actually analyzed the light from a quasar 10 billion light years away from us to detect these elements that were actually present in the dust and gas present on the way, by the way, they absorb light. So basically, the cycle of a star's birth and death has built the elements of life throughout the entire universe. So logic alone, common sense alone dictates we're not alone.
Right. And when you get right down to it, the chemical elements of human beings are the same chemical elements of stars.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, yep. Now obviously we're arranged a little bit different. Conservatives shine a little bit more brightly than liberals. You know? But the situation is, you know, the big question that needs to be answered, are we alone? It would be, I think, excessively arrogant and very self-centered and very narrow-minded to say we are it in the universe. The numbers are so much against that. You would have to be walking through life, looking at life through a soda straw. Your field of vision would have to be that small.
Yeah, or basically blind. But, you know, what's interesting is you've got to realize that the entire spectrum of the Earth's atmosphere is basically CO2, methane, water vapor, and oxygen. Now, when you have these elements together, it indicates basically being the signal that Earth is a living planet.
Right.
And if you have them in the right combination, like we've already detected methane on Jupiter and water vapor, in fact, on Neptune, where we're focused now, certain astrophysicists are focused now, is on Europa, because it has that combination of CO2, methane, water vapor, and oxygen, not in degrees unlike Earth's. So, you know, we're not necessarily saying we're going to find people all over the place. We might find bacteria, we might find viruses, we might find mammals. And folks, we're mammals, whether you like it or not. We might find mammals. We don't know what we can find, but if the elements are there and have been there long enough for things to evolve, there's got to be other things out there.
Well, and when you're talking about life, you know, obviously what this report that's going to be coming out next month is focused on is obviously intelligent life, okay?
Right.
But if you're talking about life in general, not only do I not believe we are alone in the universe, I do not believe we're alone in our own damn solar system.
I personally don't believe so either. I'm one of them that think we are going to find on Mars either fossilized bacteria or viruses, which would indicate at one point there was some type of life there, or we're actually going to find within the surface of Mars bacterial and microbial life. And just finding those two things, it might not be life like you and I, folks, but it's still life. And well, if you find it one place, you're going to find it in another place. It's going to be a higher form, and you're going to keep going up the scale. It's just, you just have to look at it mathematically.
That's the thing. The statistics say it's near on to impossible. I mean, the the chances that we are alone in the universe are so infinitesimally small that, right. that it doesn't hardly even, you know, bother mentioning the number. I mean, it's, you know, one in hundreds of trillions of billions that we're alone in the universe. You know, you look around the universe and you think, okay, so we're not alone. The odds are, you know, stacked against, way against us being alone. So you start looking at the possibility of intelligent life, and that intelligent life coming here. This is what we're seeing in these videos that the Department of Defense has released. You know, we're seeing things that are under some sort of control, whether it's intelligent control or whether it's autonomous control. They are engineered craft of some sort.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, you look at that. You look at the way these things move in these videos. You're talking about going from, you know, sea level to 80,000 feet in a matter of 2 seconds. You're talking about disappearing and reappearing some, you know, 60 miles away in a couple of seconds. I mean, life as we know it, intelligent life as we know it, you know, flesh and blood type of life, unless they've really somehow managed to do something just outrageous on the inside of the craft, my guess is the ones that we see moving like that are probably drones. There's probably no living being on them. They're being controlled, but not by onboard people.
Right. Right. I mean, it's all fascinating, but what's really fascinating is something to me in the sense of, are we alone? NASA is focused on two new missions that will happen within the next 10 years, okay, because you know the budgets aren't good right now. Thank you, Biden. Okay, not only are they looking at Europa, because Europa has a surface ice layer covering an ocean of water that could be as deep as 100 kilometers, and with the mantle hydrothermically active, it may produce what's necessary, something called convection currents, like, you know, those of our oceans. Right. And that alone gives rise to life that's powered by chemosynthesis, okay, as used by some organisms found at deep ocean vents on Earth. Okay, so they're going to be looking at Europa, but there's another place, and this one is Titan. And Titan is very like Earth in that it has a thick atmosphere of very simple organic compounds, but the clouds, and it does have clouds. These are moons we're talking about, Jupiter moons. Its clouds are composed of methane, which produce methane rain. However, there are hydrocarbon lakes on the surface composed of ammonia and water, and there are subsurface oceans. You know, we think of life strictly on the Earth, and then we've got the fish in the sea. Well, what's to say on some other worlds, whether they're moons or actual planets, the life is not on the Earth, but in the sea. That's being looked into as well.
Well, and subterranean. I mean, right. you have to realize that life will, even in its most basic form, it will seek out the place, you know, in its environment where it can survive. If it can't survive on the surface, but it's protected from the surface elements by going subterranean, getting into oceans that are under the surface, which would equate, you know, in a way, in a much larger way, to our aquifers. If organisms could get into there, they could survive there where they may not survive on the surface of whatever that is, a moon or a planet.
Right, right. And then, you know, there's also something that's called the Fermi paradox. about why some mathematicians, they have calculated that intelligent species, you know, do explore the galaxy. And, you know, then you have the group of scientists and say, why haven't they come here? Okay, we personally think they have come here, but there is explanations given about why maybe they haven't come here yet. And one of them is that Earth maybe seems inhospitable to them since it's 75% water, reflects a lot of ultraviolet radiation, and its atmosphere is 21% oxygen, which is near the combustion point for many organic compounds.
Yeah, we don't know what they are.
Alien life, but not quite life as we know it, but life nevertheless. When we pose the question, are we alone? We're not just talking human beings that look like us. We have to take into account that other life forms, living, breathing life forms, do exist. They just don't look like us.
It all depends on how they started, you know,
right.
and you know, maybe the chemical makeup of wherever they're from is vastly different to the chemical makeup here. And mm-hmm. so in that case, they would develop differently. They would survive differently. They would have different needs, you know, when it comes to survival. So, yeah, all of those things have to be taken into account. Now, we got a couple of minutes left here before we get to the bottom of the hour and we have to take a quick break. But very quickly, both Diane and I had experiences as kids
mm-hmm.
that put us on this track a long time ago.
Yes, and we never veered from it.
What did you see?
Well, I was about 7 or 8 years old, and we were all in our neighbor's backyards, laying in the grass, looking up at the stars. It was a beautiful summer night. And all of a sudden, we saw this thing. It was more cylindrical, moving across the sky, going back and forth, up and down, back and forth, zooming away, coming back. And the adults came out, like we called to our parents, you got to see this. What is this? So it was seen by we kids. It was also seen by many adults. Well, my father, who was in at one time was in the military and was in the Coast Guard Reserve as an adult, he called one of the Coast Guard offices and he told them what we were watching. And they told him, we're getting hundreds of phone calls seeing the same thing. And my father said, well, what is this? And they said, we have no idea. Well, it was either the next day or a couple of days later in the newspapers, unidentified flying objects were weather balloons. To that, we all said, no frickin' way.
No. No, weather balloons don't do that. They don't do that.
No.
Now, when I was a kid, I was probably, I want to say 12, 13 years old. I had a morning paper out, okay? Mm-hmm. And one morning, at the end of my paper out, I'm walking back home. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning. And in the west, I see an excessively bright light, and it's moving from the north towards the south. Mm-hmm. And it's up at an altitude where you would normally think, well, that's an airplane. The problem was, it was much bigger than an airplane. It was much brighter than an airplane. And nothing on it was blinking the way airplane lights blink. So
right.
I'm standing there, and I just stopped. I just stopped walking. I'm standing there. I'm watching this thing. And it's moving very slow. I mean, very slow. And it gets to a certain point, and it stopped, just stopped. And it stayed stationary for, I want to say, a good 10, 15 seconds. And then it took off back to the north, and it was gone in the blink of an eye. It was gone.
Well, that's very similar to what we saw. It was doing all these maneuvering in straight lines, going up, down, whatever. And all of a sudden, it just took off and was gone.
I could take you today to the sidewalk square I was standing on when I saw it. It is emblazoned in my mind because it was not an airplane. It was not an aircraft. We had nothing, still have nothing that could stop, hover, and then take off in the opposite direction that fast. Right. I mean, it was gone like a bullet. So, you know, we've seen things that have made us wonder most of our lives. Now, the Pentagon, the DOD, they're getting ready to release this report. We'll have to wait another week or so to find out what's in it. But when we come back from the bottom of the hour break here, we want to talk about the idea that intelligent life has been on this planet not only before, but for a long time.
And might even still be here.
Stay with us, folks. More of our special report, Are We Alone? After this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor, getting you through the Friday night edition of the show special report. Are We Alone? We are examining the report that's supposed to come out from the DOD and intel agencies next month regarding UFOs. As we were leaving for the bottom of the hour break there, we said we wanted to talk next about the idea that intelligent life not only has been here before, but has been here for a long time and is quite possibly still here today.
Yes, but let me make one fast correction because I don't know what I was thinking. Titan is actually a moon of Saturn, folks. Okay. Europa is the moon of Jupiter.
Right.
And Titan happens to be the largest moon of Saturn.
So if you go back in human history, and I mean go back to when people were drawing stuff on the sides of caves.
Yes.
There are depictions of things that look humanoid, but don't necessarily look human. There are depictions of things that are strangely, oddly geared toward the sky, things that look like galaxies, look like vortexes, look like, you know, what we now think of as black holes. You know, But there are things that are drawn in caves, and there has been things produced in art, not only in paintings, but in carvings. We see things in hieroglyphs in ancient Europe. We find things not only in exotic places like ancient Egypt or ancient Greece, but in Mesoamerica and in North America, too, that really lend themselves to the idea that we have not been alone for a long time.
Yes. In fact, they've even found some of these cave paintings that actually show representations of star constellations in what appears to be the night sky. And what they're thinking of is that these early humans used those to represent dates and mark events, basically to keep a track of time without knowing actually what time was. But the thing is, the fact of what they represented, where would early humanoids get that information from? Our brains weren't as developed then to understand outer space, let alone day and night. It had to be learned from somewhere else, or someone else.
Not only that, but in different places around the world, different cultures that had no contact with each other, and many times at different times in human history, vastly different times in human history, they're all referring to two basic star patterns. You have Orion and you have the Pleiades. Orion and the Pleiades. The Pleiades and Orion. You know, and no matter where you look, you see those stars depicted in various forms of artwork. Why?
It's a commonality that actually cannot be explained, along with the idea. Here you have the pyramids of Egypt. You have the Mayan pyramids. There were pyramid shapes that appeared in China. Certain things have a commonality that those people, let's say the Egyptians, they didn't know about Mayans, yet their architecture was very, very similar. Their painting, their way of communicating was very similar. Then you have the Chinese characters versus the Egyptian hieroglyphics. There's some similarity in that as well. Well, how could people who didn't know about other people develop such similar things within the same time frame if they weren't being taught these things?
See, that's the big question, right? I mean, you know, like I said, vastly different time frames. The ancient Egyptians and the Mayans didn't even exist in the same time frame. The Mayans had no knowledge of the Egyptians. The Mayans were later than the Egyptians. They didn't know from Egyptians. And yet, they're all building similar structures. They're all creating similar artwork. I mean, it just, you know, and you go back and you look at several North American Native Indian tribes. And their belief is that all of humanity came from star people.
Right. And they use it, actually the translation is star people.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's too much of this stuff to be mere coincidence. But let's take a couple of minutes here. And, you know, I mean, we can talk about ancient peoples. We can talk about, you know, the cave people and the ancient Egyptians. But let's bring it into something that everybody kind of has the ability to really wrap their heads around. And I'm talking about a guy by the name of Leonardo da Vinci.
Yes.
You know, we've all seen pictures, if we haven't seen it in person, pictures of the Mona Lisa. We've all seen pictures of Da Vinci's paintings. It's pretty well known at this point that Da Vinci used to hide things in paintings. And yes. He used to do a lot with what's called mirror imaging.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you took one of his pictures and you made a mirror image of it and you put those two together, you'd see something that he had hidden in there. Well, there are 16 known Da Vinci paintings in the world. 16. Mm-hmm. Two of them have something hidden in them that will absolutely blow your mind.
Let's put it this way. We found two of them, but there could be more, and we just right. haven't found what Craig is going to tell you. We haven't found them yet. It doesn't mean they're not there. We just haven't looked at the paintings long enough and each particular section to see where they are.
If you look at Da Vinci's painting, John the Baptist,
mm-hmm.
and you find the picture of it that's the clearest one, on the left side, or I'm sorry, on the right side of that painting, he's got some kind of bluish, darkish, grayish shadowing over there. If you mirror image that and you put those two together, what is between John the Baptist on your left and John the Baptist on your right is what, Diane?
It's the image of the typical alien caricature that we see to this day.
One they call the Grays.
Exactly what we see to this day.
Yeah, it's the one they call the Grays. The very large kind of almond-shaped dark eyes and the larger cranium and the small chin with the small mouth. It's there. It you don't have to squint. You don't have to stand on your head. It's there. Well, if you do the same thing with the Mona Lisa, mm-hmm. and you mirror image the Mona Lisa, okay, and you get it to the point where the Mona Lisa's, it would be her left shoulder, be on the right side as you look at it. If that's where you cut the painting and you put those two together in a mirror image, that same alien face, the gray, is there as well.
Yes. Yeah, and you have to remember, Da Vinci was the one who basically drew the helicopter, the submarine, flying, you know, all sorts of different flying contraptions before, you know, centuries before these things were invented. But if you go back even further than Da Vinci, you have to also Galileo. You have to understand what Galileo did. He, out of nowhere, decided, looking at the sky, the man, you know, suddenly taking away the religious thing that everything revolves around the earth is flat, and he goes, no, the earth is round, the earth orbits the sun, there are X number of planets around the sun. How did this man, back then, come up with all this? He had to have learned from someone or something. Now, Craig and I do have a theory of where some of this knowledge might have been. If you remember, and you've probably learned it in history, about the Great Fire in Alexandria, the library at Alexandria in Egypt. You have to understand the Egyptians were doing brain surgery back in the days of the Pharaoh, and people were surviving. No one to this day can figure out how the pyramids were built. The Egyptian hieroglyphics have images of beings in the skies. There's just too much of this. The Egyptian civilization was moving forward. All of a sudden, you have the Great Fire. And that was really the start of the collapse of the Egyptian civilization. We honestly do think that some of these answers were in that library.
The library
at a guidebook? if you will, a guidebook. This is how you build a pyramid. This is how you do brain surgery. I mean, come on, folks. You're talking about early men, not developed to the, you know, they look like us, but they weren't as developed as we were, as we are. How did they suddenly do all these things?
Well,
they have help.
You have to believe that, because it was way beyond their technical or mental capability to do these things on their own. You mentioned building the pyramids, and I want to use this to kind of move us into a different arena of this before we close out, you know, this special report tonight. You look at the pyramids, you look at the size of those boulders, you look at the size of the pyramids, and remember, the pyramids were the tallest man-made structures on Earth until the Eiffel Tower was built.
Right.
Okay? So you look at it and you go, how in the world did these people, thousands upon thousands of years ago, move stones and cut stones and stack stones and do these things when they had none of the machinery we have today? And even with the machinery we have today, we'd have a damn hard time doing it ourselves. How did they go about doing it? Well, we know everything about Egyptian society. They wrote down everything in hieroglyphs, right? We even have their recipe for beer. We know how they grew their food. You know, we knew how they channeled water and moved water from point A to point B. We know how these people lived. All of the mundane things of their lives are recorded in hieroglyphs all over ancient Egypt. How they built the pyramids? Nothing. Nothing. It could very well be.
Supposition, but no proof.
It could very well be that the reason that never got recorded is because the Egyptians that recorded everything had absolutely no understanding of how it was done.
Correct. But it's basically what our theory is that knowledge was in the great library at Alexandria.
And when that library was destroyed, so too went the knowledge.
Exactly.
You know, and so if it was ever written down, that would be where, you know, it would have been kept, gone. But that brings us to this other point. Let's say this report comes out next month, and it says, yep, we're being visited by aliens from other planets. Let's just give it the benefit of that. I don't think it's going to say that. I think they're going to tap dance around it, okay? But let's just say that's what it says. What are the implications if that is what it says? I think the implications for human society, and I'm not just talking about Americans, I'm talking about world, across the world, society, that holy crap, this is going to turn everything upside down.
Okay. Yeah. What's going to happen is if it's proven that there is life out there, more or less human life, it is going to cause such a panic here on Earth that I think the people who do know the truth would keep it hidden at all costs. Because if you find out that we are not alone, the whole premise of religion, how we view religion, is kind of shot to hell.
Well, it is. And it doesn't matter what religion you're talking about.
Right.
You know, it just upends everything. Now, I understand that, you know, there are people out there, if an alien from outer space walked up to them and said, hi, how you doing? I'm from Alpha Centauri. They still wouldn't believe it, or they'd pray about it, okay? But you have to understand, if they're here, and we think they are, if they're here, they are way more advanced than we are. And the dogma that surrounds religion, any religion, would be wiped out. And let's face it, religion is something that ancient man came up with to explain the things that ancient man couldn't understand.
Yeah. When I was in college, in my, of all things, archaeology class, and I remember, it was a lady teacher, I remember this day like it was yesterday. She started the class, because she's archaeology, looking at the past, and she said, okay, people, I want you all to clear your minds. Imagine you are an early man, prehistoric man. Sun comes up, goes down, the moon comes up, goes down, it rains, it snows, it this and that. How do you explain that? Early man did not have the capacity or the knowledge to explain it. So they invented deities. Well, this does this and this does that. From the deities grew religions after many millennia passed. That stuck with me throughout my whole life because it makes perfect sense. Religion was invented to explain the unexplainable. But here's where it comes into play as far as what we're talking about. Okay, the universe is started with the Big Bang. That's the general consensus among the scientists, and to some degree they've actually proven it, whatever. Well, what was before the Big Bang? Is that where the concept of God really is? The being or whatever, the spirit, whatever you want to call it, that set off the Big Bang? I can accept that.
I can too, and I think what caused the Big Bang is even a more perplexing question than are we alone?
Yeah, but they're tied together.
Well, they are. They're inextricably tied together. But I think the more perplexing of the two is what was there before the Big Bang and what caused it? But folks, you got to remember and you got to think about this. Every religion, virtually every single religion, their god or gods, plural or singular, came from the sky.
Yes.
All of them. Religions that sprung up here, there, and everywhere around the world at different times, their gods all came from the sky. There's got to be a reason for that. Okay?
Right. So, could angels be aliens? Could the concept of the devil and demons be aliens? I mean, it's just something to think about.
I mean, you have to think about it. Now, I know there are people out there that won't. I know there are people out there that don't want to think about that. And that, I suppose, is, you know, it's got something to do with blind faith. Blind faith means you just believe. You don't have to have nothing has to be proven. If you can't understand it or you can't explain it, it's because God said so. And that's enough. That's enough for some people. It's not enough for me.
Or me.
You know, and I got to have things explained to me. And just because God said so doesn't get it done for me.
But has anybody actually heard God say it? Or is it man saying God said it? You can go one step further.
Or is God a whole different thing than what the religious dogma tells you God is? You know, I mean, to not accept blind faith means you have to think. So blind faith is obviously much easier.
Of course.
You don't have to think. But when you start looking at all the evidence, all the actual scientific, physical evidence, the mathematical evidence that Diane so eloquently talked about earlier in the show, when you look at all the common sense stuff, now the videos of things that are in the air that are simply unexplainable in our knowledge of physics or by our mechanics or anything that we have invented as human beings. When you start looking at this in the big picture, and that's what Diane and I do, we look at the big picture, then you have to say, we are not alone. They've been here before. They've been here for a long time. They are probably still here today. And what it really boils down to is not a question of are we alone, but the real question is, what are we going to do when they're standing right in front of us in the open?
Yeah. Yeah, I personally don't believe if that does happen, first contact, I always call it, if that does happen, I don't believe they would be what we call evil, because they've been here among us for so long. I think any intelligent race that could help humankind along as it has, you know, from the cave paintings to the pyramids to the Da Vinci era, and further on, Einstein you can throw into that mix too. That kind of being that nurtured humankind all along, I don't believe would be vindictive.
I understand your point, and I believe your point is correct. However, let me just throw this into the mix.
Okay.
What if the species that is here watching us now is not the same species that's been here before and provided that kind of help to mankind or humankind throughout thousands of years? What if the species that's coming now has a whole different point of view than the species that's been here before? Then what?
Do you remember the Twilight Zone episode, To Serve Man?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. One of my favorites.
I don't think we're talking that, but, I mean, you can't deny any possibilities, but I personally don't follow that possibility. I don't think that a being that has basically watched over us all these years, the progress we've made, the back steps, the sliding, picked ourselves up, moved forward again, doing things we shouldn't be doing at the times they were done. I honestly don't think that kind of being would want to harm us.
I think you're right. But I can't brush aside the possibility that the beings that are coming now are the same beings that were doing that.
I can't either. Because,
you can't just dismiss
it. If you accept the premise that we are not alone, we're not talking, oh, there's one planet 100 million light years from here. No, we're talking about the universe with many, many planets. Half behind us, quarter like us, and then a quarter way, way more advanced than us. We're talking about a populated universe. And you have to understand the universe, as far as our minds can comprehend it, is endless. We don't know the end of the universe. Well, if you don't know the end of the universe, you don't know how many beings can be in that universe.
Well, we're talking about beings that are advanced enough to be here. That means they're advanced enough to cover excessive distances in short amounts of time, whether it's by wormhole, whether it's by folding space, whether it's by some stretch of string theory and quantum physics that we don't yet understand, or a propulsion device that we don't yet understand. They're here. If they're here, they've come from somewhere far, far away. And, you know, it opens up a whole different spectrum, a whole different thing for humanity as a whole. What's going to be in this report? I think Diane believes it's going to be a lot of double talk, a lot of cover up, a lot of we just don't know.
Redactions.
A lot of redactions. Oh, there will be redactions that have been redacted.
Yeah. Because you have to understand, guys, if these things do exist, if Roswell does exist, if the beings, you know, that supposedly were gathered up from Roswell, do exist, and it's been hidden from us for all these years, there would be heads rolling.
Oh, yeah.
There would be major upsets. Because remember, it's not just us in this country or Western countries seeing these things. Africa has reports of these. The Far East has reports of these lights and these ships and this and that. It's a worldwide phenomena.
Canada, British Columbia, I mean, Japan, Australia, Europe. I mean, this stuff is going on in defense departments and military departments the worldwide have actual videos and have actual reports from pilots, from radar operators, from people who know that they're not seeing a mirage.
Right. And there were countless thousands of videos taken by people on their cell phones.
Yeah, but that's not what the report deals with.
We can't all be making this up.
This report doesn't deal with all of that. It only deals with what we've gotten from our military.
Right.
Okay.
They don't believe us. And watch them say they don't believe the military either. I'd really be shocked if they admitted certain truths.
I think we're going to get a lot of, we just don't know. But yeah. I think they do know.
They know. They've known all along.
Well, folks, I hope you found this interesting. Diana and I, this is the kind of stuff that Diana and I talk about when we're just killing time, if you can believe it.
Yes.
You know, this is just discussion amongst us, amongst our friends. But this report is going to be very interesting to see what's in it. It's going to be more telling what's not in it.
Exactly. And we'll report on that once we get our little grubby hands on the report.
And believe me, we will. But with that, Diane, I think that wraps up our special report. Are we alone? The answer, probably not.
I won't even say probably. I'll say no.
Let's wrap it up for the weekend, Diane.
Okay. Nighty-night, folks, and don't have nightmares about aliens serving man.
Good night, everybody.
That'll be on, by the way, Craig, on Monday's Memorial Day Marathon on Twilight Zone. It's one of the top episodes.
Good night, everybody. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Be safe, and we'll see you next time.